Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260-week, five-year-long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 38, studying Mark chapter 10. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, just click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember, if you miss any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will always find them available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. The little children. The disciples' attitude versus Jesus' attitude. Someone, Mark's text does not identify who, though one translation says some parents, someone brought children to Jesus so that he might touch them. We are not told what, if anything, might have been conveyed to these children while they were in Jesus' presence. But in other texts in Mark, those touched by Jesus were physically blessed by his touch, usually a healing of some kind. Note, for example, Mark 1:41, 3:10, 5:28 and 41, 6:56, 7:32, and 8:22. Nothing in this context tells us that the children brought to Jesus needed to be healed. At least one translation renders this account by saying, so he could touch and bless them. Another, simply, so that he would bless them. The word translated as touch, by the way, has five major meanings according to Bauer, the second of which means to make close contact. That second definition has three sub-meanings, the last of which has been attributed to this and related passages. It was used in the sense of touching as a means of conveying a blessing, divine working by a touch of the hand. But in Mark 10:13, our text, and Luke 18:15, it means, perhaps, just to hold. Both Matthew and Mark say, little children. Luke reads, then they also brought infants to Jesus, Luke 18, verse 15. The disciples rebuked those who brought the children. The term rendered as rebuked means to express strong disapproval of someone. Rebuke, reprove, censure also speak seriously, warn in order to prevent an action or bring one to an end. In other contexts, we see the same term used when Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, Matthew 8:26, and when Jesus warned them not to make him known, Matthew 12:16. Peter rebuked Jesus when he, Jesus, foretold his trials, suffering, death, and resurrection, Matthew 16, verse 22. Clearly, the disciples did not approve of the children being brought to or being in the presence of Jesus. No immediate explanation in this context explains why. Jesus' reaction, however, sheds light on the significance of little children from a spiritual, that is, from a kingdom of God point of view. First, the text tells us that Jesus was greatly displeased. Other translations render greatly displeased as indignant or moved with indignation, moved to indignation, and as angry or grew angry. Bauer defines the term as be indignant against what is assumed to be wrong, be aroused, indignant, angry. Mounts notes it means to be pained, to be angry, vexed, indignant, to manifest indignation. Speke notes that in the Gospels, this term never means indignation or displeasure, but anger. His use of the word never was tempered by this footnoted remark. The only exception is Matthew 26, verse 8, when Mary of Bethany anointed Jesus, the disciples expressed their displeasure, saying, "Why this waste?" We probably should then better understand Jesus' response to the disciples' reaction as the stronger attitude of anger rather than displeasure or indignation. The word indignant, it's worthy to note, means feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. That's the New Oxford American Dictionary. More translations use indignant than displeasure. It comes across, it seems, as a stronger, more negative sentiment. That works if we understand that indignant means anger in this setting. The term, according to France, covers both irritation at their failure to learn and repugnance at their attitude in itself. Second, Jesus' anger led him to say this about children, "For of such is the kingdom of God." What does that mean? Let's note this first. Jesus did not intend to teach that, nor should we use this text to affirm that, we should baptize or immerse infants or little children in order to bring them into the spiritual kingdom of God. The subject of how one enters the kingdom of God does not surface in this setting. France cautions against that by noting, "Even to ask such questions is to indicate an agenda which is not, on the surface at least, that of this pericope, and inferences drawn from it for such an agenda must be treated with caution." End of citation. Jesus' words, "For of such is the kingdom of God," was directed more to the character of little children and not to their actions. How do we know that? Consider how this passage appears in translation. "Permit the children to come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for to those who are childlike the kingdom of God belongs. Let the little children come to me, don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then finally, allow the children to come to me, don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. If you listened carefully, you heard that each of these translations uses the word belongs, indicating that there was some sense of ownership attributed to little children. That does not mean that little children originated or created the kingdom. It does not mean that they run the kingdom. It does not mean that they decide who can or who cannot enter the kingdom. It indicates not so much exclusive ownership, but having a rightful share in, according to France. The reference to children is not only or even mainly about children, but about those who share the child status. It is to such people, the insignificant ones who are important to Jesus, who will, of course, include, but not be confined to children, that God's kingdom belongs. It is the literal children whom Jesus tells the disciples to allow to come to him. But the reason is that they belong to and represent a wider category of people who are the ones who matter to God. Thoughts here referenced by France. Bratcher and Nida observe that Jesus is speaking of the characteristics or qualities of children, not of the children themselves. Just what childlike qualities merited Christ's attention to say that of such is the kingdom of God? Like many other elements in context, no express explanation appears here. From other contexts, however, we observe this. Jesus, in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The emphasis in this context was on the humility of children. Additionally, consider what we read in the Beatitudes, especially in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That seems to relate to a childlike characteristic. In similar vein to the humility accentuated in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, to be poor in spirit centers on the need for something outside oneself in order to be part of God's kingdom. Children are, of course, quite dependent on parents and family for their welfare, and we, as Christians, must always have that disposition of mind, spiritually speaking. We will always be dependent on our Heavenly Father, His singular Son, and on the Holy Spirit for our welfare. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 10. These reminders as we conclude. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. This reminder, if you miss any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will always find them available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Here are two ways that you can keep up with the work of International Gospel Hour. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. That's text IGHFREE to 55222. And finally, keep up with our work by going to facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.